Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos Pro Block Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales electos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here on Sports Daily. We've got you for the next little while on KFH. If you want to get in touch with the program, you got all kinds of ways you can do it. You can call us at 869-1240. You can leave us video comments on the different areas you can watch us, Facebook, YouTube, X, all those places available for you here on the air. And as we say this out loud, I'm kicking on the video stream right now. One button was missing there. So give me 1 second. And now we're joining you on the video stream. Welcome in, everybody. So you can leave us your comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can tweet at us directly. We can get those to you. You can also, if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, even if you're listening to us podcasted or on demand, if you hit that little microphone, it'll leave us a voice message. We can get to those as we make our way through, if they're relevant, of course, to what we're talking about today. So get in touch with us. Austin did send us a message overnight. Austin Crutcher sent us a message about Austin Reeves, who had a game winner. What a week for him. The former Shocker is having a week, that is for sure. But we'll have plenty to get to today. We've got the World Series advantage now. Toronto Blue Jays surprising the world with a big game last night. They get the win. They take the series lead 3-2 and head back to Toronto. Savage was fantastic. The young pitcher doesn't even know how big the moment is. Strikes out 14. So we can get into that. We'll, of course, talk a ton of football as we always do on a Thursday from a variety of angles. We still will be continuing our previews of Chiefs Bills. We'll get PJ Glasser in to talk a little Thursday night football with us. We will also get you ready for the weekend of college football. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, is with us. So it's all ready for you here today on a Thursday. TJ, we're excited about it. And it's brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Now, TJ, good morning. How are you?
Jacob, let's not bury the lead. I know that the fans of the show have been waiting to hear this. This morning, I finally scheduled my coffee maker, and it was ready when I got out of bed.
Listen, I don't know why this was a difficult proposition. I mean, it just welcome to the modern technology, TJ. Usually I'm the one who gets made fun of for not embracing, you know, these things in life, these technologies that make things easier for us in some cases. But in this case, that's been you, stubborn. Yeah, they've had schedulers on them for a long time.
Crazy.
And it takes no time to do it. So I'm happy for you. Welcome to 2025.
People will be excited that the first segment of the show will be more upbeat.
We also have a story that I am just fascinated by. Did you see the Louisiana governor yesterday? Mm-hmm. Just rip into LSU and what's been happening and the athletic director there and these buyouts and all of these things. Scott Woodward, he says, will not select the head coach. That was interesting.
My immediate thought was, could you imagine a world where Laura Kelly is doing that?
I mean, if they pulled the same shenanigans, if at a public university they fired a coach and we're going to pay him $50 million to not coach, and there's a history of it and you've got to look into it, then no, I can't imagine her doing it, but, you know, anybody's going to take a political football. This didn't feel like a political football, though. This felt like an LSU fan that's pissed off.
Yeah, I think there's a two-sider to that one.
But it's good. I mean, he's not wrong.
We got to save this for a long sipping.
Just so people, because we'll talk about it when we come back, just so people have any, you know, have the idea of what we're talking about. Like, they're the Louisiana governor, who I've never heard of before yesterday, Jeff Landry, just went off on the Brian Kelly firing and the athletic director doing it and the buyout. He said, and then the quote that gets headlines, and this was obviously a joke, that he'd let Donald Trump select the next head coach before Scott Woodward, the athletic director, because there's a little history there. Scott Woodward, not directly but indirectly, had something to do with the Jimbo Fisher contract that went down this road. He called out a lot of the oddness, weirdness that agents represent, like all of these people, same agents might represent both coaches involved with the negotiation and the athletic director. It's weird. It is weird. That's a weird thing. Like, if you go buy a house and you have the agent, and it's also their house, they bring somebody else in, right? Like, it's odd to, like, have the agents leveraging clients against themselves and also the person who has to make the decision to hire them. $50 million buyout? $50 million buyout? Like, what is the hell?
It's the same conversation we had on Monday, the fact that it's just insane the spot that college athletics have gotten to. Kurt Cignetti, if he gets fired and his new contract gets paid $90 million guaranteed. Like, that's made-up number. Like,
but we can't pay the players. But we can't pay the players and fans. We really need you to step up your support so that we can keep up with the Joneses and the new modern world of college athletics.
That's nail on the head of what I've talked. I've talked to Kevin Saul about this for months, about, like, man, like, I don't think that anybody was asking that we, the fans, needed to do this. I think that the whole NIL space was about, hey, Johnny Manziel made Texas A&M enough money to buy a new stadium, basically. Like, can he get a cut of that? Like, there's no shortage of money in college athletics.
No, there's not. And they're going to share, and they don't like it. And because of the good old boy nature of it, in a lot of ways, guys get $50 million buyouts. Goodness. I mean, the Shockers have dealt with this, too. They've had to buy coaches out. Nothing to this level. But the buyout, the idea of a buyout is very strange in a lot of cases.
In any other profession, basically?
No, I mean, there are. There's severance packages for sure.
Yeah.
But like not to the level that we're seeing right now in college football. And in some cases, and I'm not going to get into it here, like they're used for silence, right? Like we're all just going to go our separate ways on this deal and everybody's going to be quiet about it. But you know, that's, I don't think that's the case in this situation. I think it's just, we did a ridiculous contract that was negotiated by the agent that represents all sides in the negotiation. And now when the performance isn't to the standard that they think it needs to be, there's this massive penalty and they're going to have to go, they still have to go hire another coach, right? Like it's crazy. It's crazy. And the reality of it is, who has more to do with the national championship, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase or Ed Orgeron? I mean, the answer to that question is very easy. That is not a trick question. The players do. Of course they do. It's why Andy Reid doesn't make as much money as Patrick Mahomes.
Like, in college, though, you got to have somebody to bring them to campus. That's half the battle.
It is half the battle. It is half the battle. And you can bring a lot of great players to campus. But if they don't perform, and it's, I'm not trying to say they're not important. I'm trying to say they're not, like, the disparity of pay between Brian Kelly and whoever on the LSU roster is outrageous. And now it will be. But we'll get into that later in this hour. We're going to get into Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes head-to-head. Take you through some of those numbers as we continue to prep for Chiefs-Bills. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins us today. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, joins us today. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up and fired up. They've always got the coffee ready there all across the Odyssey family of networks. We'll be right back with more Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of us here on Sports Daily and at Odyssey. I am headed to the Boo Bash with my kids. I tell you all the time, they got all kinds of great family stuff there at Crestview. It's a big Halloween party they're putting on. Supposed to be some karaoke. See if I can put some of these kids to shame. I don't know if it's adult karaoke, maybe kid karaoke, but I'll probably be singing anyway. It'll be fun though. Costumes, all the fun.
What does a kid karaoke sing? What songs do they like to
participate? Oh, right now I'm going to guess some K-pop Demon Hunters.
I was going to say
Golden would probably be on there. My kids, I don't know how they do it or where they do it or how they keep up with it, because they don't really have any devices or anything, but they know all the songs that are on the radio. Like their memories must just be sponges. They hear stuff one time and maybe they sing it to each other at school. Maybe their friends have stuff at school that they listen to, but they kind of know all the hits. And my son, man, he never met a song he didn't like. He was classic rock when I used to take him to like preschool, just loved it and still does. But now he's got two older sisters. So, you know, he has to like or pretend to like at least all the pop stuff, because that's what they listen to, and he just wants to do everything that they do. But we'll check it out. Thanks to Crestview Country Club. Next week, golf week. I got to get out there and play as much as I can. Next week looks incredible weather-wise, but we appreciate their support of the program. Give them a call. Ask them about all the different kinds of memberships they have today. All right, we come back here. With this hour, we're gonna hit this, and then we're going to hit that story out of Louisiana. And then in the next hour, we're loaded with guests, PJ Glasser, Tim Fitzgerald joining the show. Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, TJ. We're going back and forth on some stuff and trying to pick this game, and it's going to be hard. Like my brain keeps telling me, you know, pick the Chiefs, pick the Chiefs, pick the Chiefs. The line moved to like, what, 2.5 yesterday? In some places, 2 in some places. I'm seeing it more often at 2 here this morning. But it's just what's interesting about it, and my brain saying Chiefs, sometimes my gut's like, yeah, but it's regular season Bills. And most of that comes because of the history of this series. If we dig into this, Josh Allen has owned the regular season in meetings of he versus Mahomes. And then, of course, Mahomes has owned the postseason. It's a really interesting dynamic to this rivalry is just these two. You know, these two and the way that they've gone historically in this matchup.
Yeah, I agree. It is kind of staggering the difference between the regular season and postseason between these two, because Mahomes hasn't really had much success at all in the regular season against Josh Allen. And I'm sure that now that I'm saying that out loud, if we ask PJ Glasser about it, I'm sure he's going to say, put the sports knowledge aside, Mahomes doesn't beat Allen in the regular season, especially not on the road. I'm not sure if he – I think he did one time, and I think that it was the – COVID season when there wasn't fans there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken about that. So it's kind of crazy that the Chiefs, who have beaten everybody, haven't really had a ton of success against them in the regular season. So I don't know what it is, but I mean, my mind tells me that they can, because this isn't the same Bills team, the same stature that we've seen it be. So that might be the year, but I also would not be shocked if it's not.
So they've played each other then nine times so far in their careers, that span from basically when Josh Allen came in 2018 to now. They have Patrick Mahomes is, if we're looking overall, Patrick Mahomes leads almost all the passing statistics. Josh Allen leads all the rushing statistics. And they've both been very good. When I say Patrick Mahomes leads the passing statistics, Josh Allen's still been awesome, right, throwing the ball. And then he's been such a weapon in this series running the ball that he has 70 rushing touchdowns over his career. Isn't that crazy? 70 rushing touchdowns over his career. But they're both obviously amazing quarterbacks. And then if we go to their head-to-head matchups, they've met five times in the regular season. That they each in those five regular season matchups, they both have 10 touchdowns. Josh Allen only has 3 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes has 7 interceptions. So in the regular season meetings, you're talking about Patrick Mahomes nowhere near his normal numbers. Josh Allen has a better quarterback rating. Josh Allen has been a better runner in the regular season meetings. He's averages a little over 40 yards a game. He has 3 rushing touchdowns in those games. Josh Allen has been the better player individually in the regular season throughout the games that they've played. If we go over to the playoffs, which make up 4 of their head-to-head meetings, that's where things get a little bit different. That's where Patrick Mahomes has been just out of his mind in these games, a near perfect quarterback rating in the games, 9 touchdowns in those 4 games, no interceptions, completes 75% of his passes. Now, Josh Allen's also been incredible in those games. In fact, he's been better in the playoffs in these meetings, TJ, than he has been in the regular season. And that's the thing. Like, we always look at this and we're like, oh, it's always Patrick Mahomes beating Josh Allen in the playoffs. No, it's the Chiefs beating the Bills, because Josh Allen, by the numbers, has been an even better quarterback in the playoffs in these head-to-head meetings than he has been in the regular season. The only difference, Patrick Mahomes hasn't been nearly as good in their regular season meetings. Not that I think Patrick Mahomes will be great this weekend, but Allen has 9 touchdowns to 1 interception. He's been kind of the same kind of runner. It's been, over the 4 games, he has 260 yards, so it becomes a bigger part of his game in the postseason than in the regular season on a per-game basis. So, like, we try to break this down, and we look at these two quarterbacks, and you almost feel bad for Josh Allen in this, don't you? Because, like, these head-to-head meetings, and it almost is never anything to do with Josh Allen. In the losses, Josh Allen's been fantastic in these playoff games.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it is two of the best. You know, it's probably the two best in the NFL going up against each other. But it has been for 5 years probably at this point. And so it always makes good TV. And then just, pertaining to this one, going to Orchard Park, obviously it doesn't have quite the same, home field advantage as Arrowhead does, but it's a really good one. There's a lot of different factors that go into this. I think that if it was an Arrowhead, you'd feel more comfortable taking the Chiefs. But going up there, playing against them in the regular season, like you're listing off these stats, it shows that this regular season has been a wild series between these two.
Yeah, it has been, the last time they played, it was last year, right, in the regular season. That was November, right? Yeah, it was late in the year.
Last time they played was the AFC Championship.
Right, on the regular season.
Yeah.
Mahomes was better than normal in those games, and the Chiefs lost, right? That was probably his best. His very first game he played against Allen in the regular season, he was really good. But then they played three more times every year, 21, 22, 23. And Mahomes was average, honestly, like not that good. He had, I think, over those three games, he had the same number of touchdowns as interceptions. And then last year, he still threw two interceptions in that game, the game that they lost. He was a little bit better, but still not. But the reality is, like, how much is it those and how much is it Josh Allen? You know, like, yeah. What is...
I mean, last year it was Josh Allen, and, you know, there wasn't much that Patrick Mahomes could have done about that. As you said, he played well. And, you know, just watching that game, it was just a slow burn of here come the Bills, and they're going to do what they want to do. The Bills last year felt like what the Chiefs are this year, kind of. Like, and I feel like it's, you know, changed a little bit. I think the Chiefs are back to what, you know, the dominant that they were. Yeah. But, I mean, the Bills were the best team in the AFC. Like, they... So, and we saw that last year. The Chiefs ended up with the better record, and they got the home field, and that helped a ton in the playoffs, and they kind of got fortunate about that. Not fortunate. They deserved it. They won all the games. But I don't know. It's not the same Bills, though. That's what we keep going back. There's a different feeling going into this one because we've seen them lose twice, and I don't know how much different it is. I mean, they lost some key pieces. They bring back a lot of key pieces. I don't know. We had this conversation back in July. Did the Bills get better this year?
We thought they did because they added some defensive pieces, but those guys haven't been there. They haven't been there for a lot of it. I don't know what's going on there. And I also, just like we talked about yesterday, I also don't even know how bad, like, the Bills, there's this perception that they're not good, but they're not bad. Like, they've won a lot of games big. They just have had a little stretch there where they didn't play particularly well. Josh Allen has had his bye week and Patrick Mahomes has not. So it's a little difficult to stack up their numbers side by side. But Josh Allen's been good this year. Josh Allen by passer rating is at almost a dead heat tie with Patrick Mahomes. He's a little ahead of it. And that doesn't even factor in the running. Josh Allen has been fantastic this year. So it's not a Josh Allen thing, right? They're running the ball really well. They're one of the better running teams in football. James Cook has been really good. It's that they don't have like a traditional true number one wide receiver. But even despite that, Josh Allen's numbers have been fantastic. So I think they're being overlooked a lot, which is why my gut keeps pushing me back to, are you really going to lay points when the Bills are playing at home when we look back to the history of this series in the regular season? And I think that's a little bit crazy. Patrick Mahomes in the playoff games against the Bills has been, he's been a surgeon. He has just shredded them apart. Over the four games he's played in the playoffs, it's 9 touchdowns, as we mentioned. He's never had a quarterback rating under 111 in those games. He has been otherworldly, but that's not been the case in the regular season. For whatever reason, obviously Mahomes has the it factor of getting up for big games. So then, like, if we take the quarterbacks away, there is a very good chance both quarterbacks are really good on Sunday, right? They generally are. Allen has been good basically in every game they've played. Mahomes, most of them, all the postseason games. He's had a couple in the regular season where it's been a little bit dicey, but he's also, like, to try to take last year into it, assuming Trey Smith goes and he practiced limited yesterday and Juwan Taylor practiced in full, assuming he goes and they go and it's not, you know, Simmons probably won't be back. I don't think he's still not back with the team yet. This is a totally different Chiefs team rolling into Buffalo than Buffalo saw last year. And I know that they won all the regular season games, but at least offensively, this team is significantly better. Even if Isaiah Pacheco can't go, and I assume that he won't be able to, this team is better offensively than it was a year ago. So then what happens, right? And that's where my brain keeps telling me, doesn't matter, Chiefs are the better team, go with the Chiefs. So it's a really interesting, like, what have we seen?
It's
now
it's backwards.
Five times.
Yeah, it feels backwards from last year. Like I said, I mean, last year the Bills were what the Chiefs are this year. I mean, that was what it was. And this year, the Chiefs are what the Bills were last year. If everybody can see that, like, oh yeah, they're the best team. Like their offense is way better. And then the Bills have a better record. The Chiefs are a better team. I don't know.
And they don't have much of a better record now. Of course, they've had the bye, and you've got 5-2 and 5-3. But there is a clear, and we're talking about all the quarterbacks, and man, Buffalo is really going to want to run the ball. And that is something the Chiefs have handled well this year. That's to me, like, that's the big question. If the Chiefs are able to keep Buffalo from running the ball, can the Bills still win the game? Do they have enough firepower to sling it like that this year? And I think the answer is probably they do. They really lean heavy into tight ends. When we think about their run game, it's not as simple as just stopping James Cook, right? You also have to stop Josh Allen. And in these games, Josh Allen will run like crazy. We all remember the play, the Jim Nance call on the play last year to sort of ice the game and all of that stuff. But I don't know, man. Like, when we keep, and we'll ask Glasser about this in the next hour. My gut just keeps saying they're going to get points at home, and that number may go to 3 by the time we get to this weekend. Like, you may get the field goal there.
The better question to ask here: do you think that the Chiefs can win the game?
For sure. Do I think they can? Yeah.
If you were picking this game on the money line, would you pick the Chiefs?
Probably. Yes, probably. Because
the two and a half are skewing you here.
Two and a half. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely playing in. And I think by the time we get to it, it'll probably be bigger than that. Jeez, it's tough. I mean, let me try to pull up real quick how close these games typically are.
It's just such a statement game for both of them. Like, if the Chiefs win this game, it's going to be, oh yeah, well, this is what we've been waiting for. Like, every Chiefs win has had an asterisk so far that we've been talking about. And then, you know, the Bills lost two. They want to prove that, hey, we're still one of the best teams in the AFC. If they can beat the Chiefs, that's something you do.
The game has been, these games going back to 2021, so this isn't all of them, but we'll just go back to 2021. 6-18, the Bills crushed them in 21. 6-4, 3-3, 9-3 are the margins. So they usually are close within a score. There have been a couple of times where they haven't been, and those usually favor the Bills when that's happened. But, man, it's I cannot wait. Like, this rivalry, it's right there. And I was, you know, very much a part of Brady versus Manning all those years and all that. But this one has felt as good and delivered as big moments as any I can remember. I mean, I grew up a 90s Cowboys fan. The Cowboys Niners it was the best. And this is right there with any of them. And it's because these two quarterbacks just elevate every single time. And no matter what's happening around them, these games are good. And I think it will be again. And I think it'll be close. And if that line keeps going toward the Bills, it's going to be hard. That's a lot. You know, it's already 2.5 some places. I think it's going to be to 3 by the weekend. We'll see. Maybe more people will jump on. We'll see what Glasser thinks. And you know, timing is everything when you make these bets. I would say if you're going to bet the Chiefs, bet them now. You know, get them now, because I don't think you could have had them at 1. If you'd have bet it right when it came out, which would have been, that would have been fantastic. If you're a Chiefs fan.
I don't think I agree with that. I'd say I'd wait if I was a Chiefs fan. I feel like it's gone up. I feel like it's going to float back down.
You think it's going down?
I mean, I think that
I don't know why it would change directions all of a sudden.
I think it's at the point now where all the public money's saying, why are the Bills underdogs at home? And I think that it's going to start floating back that way.
Well, the money is going to the Chiefs. That's why the line keeps moving towards
the
Chiefs.
I think the money's going to shift. I think that people are going to
look
at the line.
I don't know that that ever happens, but we'll see. We'll ask Glasser in the next hour what he thinks about that. All right, let's dig into this story that has fascinated me for the last 24 hours. Man, oh, man. So you've got...
We need to call Dylan about this.
We can talk to Fitz about it later, too. And it's... Look, good for him for getting up there and saying it. So the Louisiana governor, Jeff Landry, went all in smashing LSU about this decision on the Brian Kelly buyout. He called out Scott Woodward, the athletic director, very directly, saying, in fact, quote, "I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next head coach." He didn't just go after him about this one. He went after him about the Jimbo Fisher situation. And Jimbo Fisher was given a huge contract at A&M. And then this athletic director left, goes to, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, goes to LSU, tries to hire him away. Jimbo Fisher then gets an extension and an even bigger buyout, only to be bought out. And now he comes in to lure Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame. He does this big buyout. All the agents are the same. It's like the same one or two agents in all of this. And he's just saying this system is jacked. Like, what has happened? Like, how can this be possible? And he calls out and says that this were, you know, that you'd be disbarred if you were a lawyer in these kinds of, like, you know, conflict of interest situations. But, and he's not wrong. Like, how can an agent represent the person signing the contract, the person being bought out, and the person that's going to sign the new contract? Whose best interest is that agent looking out for?
His.
Right. Like, the most money everywhere means the most money for me. And, yep. And like, I don't know, like, why any, and universities, by the way, just sit here and they're just cool with it. Okay.
It is. I kind of had a feeling that once this one dropped, I mean, I saw, like, you know, like I was talking about, CBS Sports had an article about, you know, it might be time to look in the mirror, athletic directors, you know, like, coaches are just allowed to fail in college sports and get fired and paid for it. And like, the people that are the people that hire him, like, it's their failure. Like, that's the thing. If you're an athletic director and you hire a coach that doesn't work out, it's kind of your fault. Like, it's, well, not in the way.
It's like, not, there's a lot of reasons it doesn't work out. The buyout is your fault.
Yes. Yeah, it's not directly your fault if it's a bad hire. There's external factors and everything like that.
Well, a bad hire, or it just didn't work out. It can be a great hire that doesn't work out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, it depends. What's funny is they hire away Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame goes to a national championship game. So, you know, now, and this is what the governor's saying, like, there are lots of coaches out there. Don't hire the one that comes in and says, and his agent says, we got to have a $50 million buyout.
Yeah, okay? That's
great.
The thing.
We're not hiring you then. Go have fun. We'll go to the next candidate. But they don't do that. They don't. They're like, okay, fine. Yeah, we'll do that.
That's the biggest part of this, is the fact that athletic directors, like, it's just, it will to these coaches. Like, and it's going to happen again. Like, what do you think Lane Kiffin's buyout and his new contract is going to be? It's going to be astronomical if you want to get him to your school.
But that's what the governor here is saying, and it's what more people need to say. That's why this guy, it doesn't sound like, is going to be allowed to make that hire, because that's exactly what he would do. He would go find, he would hire, here's what he would do. He would hire a committee, okay? He would hire a committee to go tell him,
you should hire Lane Kiffin.
And then Lane Kiffin will come in, and he'll say, I need a $60 million buyout. And I don't know who Lane Kiffin's agent is, but it's probably one of the same one or two. And then they'll say, okay, fine. And then Lane Kiffin will win 9 or 10 games a year, and in 4 years, he'll get fired. And then he'll get, it's the stupidest thing ever. The correct answer should be, oh, you need a $50 million buyout? Well, then we're on to the next person. We're going to hire somebody that doesn't need a $50 million buyout.
It's to the point. The thing is, though, is that, like, it's okay to do it, but, like, you can't be wrong and do it. Like, that's the thing. Like, this, the buyout is basically an athletic director saying, I'm so sure this will work that I will give you $50 million if we fire you, and taking a bet on it. And every time they're almost wrong. Like, it never works.
Because there are so many factors.
Yeah.
And it's totally unreasonable. Brian Kelly was not unsuccessful at LSU.
Nope.
So, like, you have to put that metric in there too, right? The difference in the barometer for Cignetti at Indiana is different than the barometer for whoever the coach at LSU is. Ed Orgeron won a national championship. They fired him. Mm-hmm. Like, how many years later? Two? So, like, what are we doing here? Like, the reality is, if you are the athletic director, and you know that 9 or 10 wins a year is not good enough, you can't also do the buyout. Yep. If the standard is so high that it's going to take a national championship every 3 years to just like, then that should tell you more than anything. God, I can't sign the big buyout then, because we're probably going to have to cycle through coaches here.
That's the thing, though, is that it's to the point now where it's so, you know, systemic, is that every coach is going to ask for a buyout. Every coach is going to ask. At some point,
somebody's just got to say no. You don't think LSU can hire a great coach without putting in a buyout?
Not to the caliber that's going to make them happy. Like, they just fired a guy that won 10 games.
The only thing that makes them happy is winning.
Yeah, but they just fired Brian Kelly. You can't hire somebody worse than Brian Kelly.
They fired Ed Orgeron, who won a national championship.
And they hired Brian Kelly. Like, that's what you have to do if you're going to fire
somebody. You don't know.
Like,
see, that's that. You don't have to do that. And that's what this LSU, governor is saying. No, you don't. Do you think right now, if they went and hired the Tulane coach who's done a hell of a job right down the road, you think he's going to command a $50 million buyout?
He wouldn't, but it would. Everybody would. If it doesn't work, the only way he would
is if these agents get involved and say, "Well, you're not. He ain't taking it unless you give him." But the reality is, if you're that dude, you're like, you want to pay me how much a year? Yeah, let's come give it a shot. You can find that coach.
Yeah, he'd be all for it. But like, listen, like, you're not going to fire Brian Kelly to go hire John Summerall.
But the point is, you've already gone down this road once. You can't do it again. That's what the governor's saying. That's what the governor is saying.
The governor is saying no more of that nonsense. I think the biggest overlying message is, why the hell did you just fire Brian Kelly? Like, that's the biggest thing here. Like,
sure.
It didn't make, like, that's what we've been talking about. Like, why did Penn State fire James Franklin? Like, who are you, like, unless you want to reset this thing, like, and that's the two options on the table, is the biggest issue. The systemic part is what I'm talking about, is that you can hire a young, unproven coach and you might have to rebuild a little bit. Or if you don't want to do that, you hire James Franklin and take out a, you know, arm loan
and win 10 games a year and be happy about it. It's just none of it makes sense together. Which is why that governor went after the agents,
and guess what? You hire John Summerall. He comes in, takes you to a CFP semifinal game. Then every program in the country wants to hire him. Then you have to give him an extension and put a buyout in there.
Yeah, because the agents get involved. And I think that at some point, there's got to be like a collective pushback, and we're going to punish and be so mad at these kids when they want to transfer, right? But we're not at these coaches.
Yeah.
We're not. Like, we'll just, okay, this is just a business. That's just how it works. It's just how it works when it's the coaches, but not the players. The players, they made a commitment to that university. They need to learn something about respect, and their word is their bond, and they can't, like, what are we doing? They already get a scholarship.
I don't know where I saw this, but this is a while back. This is a college basketball story. And I believe it was a Sam Houston State transfer who played 4 years there, was awesome, best player on the team, and then transferred to some like SEC school or Big 12 school. I can't remember.
Right, Texas Tech. I think they had one of those.
Something like got a big payday, and the dude took his payday and donated to the NIL fund at Sam Houston State, and it brought out the argument about like there should be a business model to where it's like, because poaching is such a big deal. Like, it shouldn't be on the player to be like, yeah, well, you know, I want to leave, so I guess I got to pay this, like a, you know, buy out of my contract. It should be, hey, like, Texas Tech, you want me? Like, you need to come pay Sam Houston. And, like, that would elevate the mid-majors, which is
That'd be cool. There's a lot. Look, there is going to be settling, and I don't care what LSU wastes their money on as long as it's private money, but the governor has a point. There better not be a penny of that. This is a public institution. Yeah. Better not be a penny
that's,
of
that's
that.
The big, that. That's
not just
here.
Coming out of the pocket of a donor. But even if it's all being privately funded, that means something else isn't being funded by that person. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit dicey. People can spend their money however they want. I don't care. But if you're like a governor and you're looking out for the best interests of your universities and all this stuff, like, it is problematic that the donors are now spending their money to buy out coaches rather than I don't know, lower scholarship cost, add scholarships, try to make the cost of college somewhat affordable, because it's outrageous right now and ridiculous for most people to go and make justification of the education that they're getting. Like, there are so many big issues that are in front of us right now with higher education, and we're buying out coaches for $50 million.
I just looked it up. ESPN's got an article about it. Just from the coaches fired this year in this cycle, which is Lane Kiffin, Billy Napier, Mike Gundy, Sam Pittman, Brent Pry, Deshaun Foster, Trent Bay, Trent Dilfer, and Jay Norvell.
Lane Kiffin wasn't. Why'd you say Lane Kiffin?
Why did I say Lane Kiffin? I don't know. Trent, I don't know why I said Lane Kiffin. Not Lane Kiffin. Yeah. Okay. Billy Napier, Mike Gundy, Sam Pittman, Brent Pry, Deshaun Foster, Trent Bray, Trent Dilfer, Jay Norvell. That list of guys, along with Brian Kelly, not Lane Kiffin, $168 million in 1 year.
And that's none of us can insane. Afford to send our kids to college, and we can't pay the players because it's not
like that's the thing. Like I don't want to, you know, pound my head on the table here and act like I miss the old days of college sports and stuff like that. But like, we're at the point now where it's like, if you don't have a $500 million stadium, $100 million head coach, and a $20 million roster, like, you don't have a chance.
Which is why we need expansion, which is why we need more money to shift toward the players, which is why all of these things, and that's just the way it is now.
But like, the money shifting towards the players isn't coming. It's not getting taken out of a different accounting line. Like,
yeah, it is to some degree, because there's revenue share, but like, this is the most egregious thing that happens. Like, of all the attention that all the other things get as far as money goes, this is the most egregious one, and it's not talked about enough. And kudos to a governor for getting up and calling a spade a spade. Like, this is absurd what we are doing with these coaches. I mean, it's absolutely insane. $50 million to not coach is what Brian Kelly's going to make right now.
That's the life to live.
I know. It's good work if you can find it. We'll come back. We've got betting talk in the next hour. We'll see what Tim Fitzgerald thinks about it, plus his thoughts on K-State this weekend against Tech, and a little college basketball preview. Busy second hour of the show. Don't go away. All right, welcome in, everybody. We got a busy hour here of Sports Daily coming for you. Jake Ballbrock, TJ Cleland. You can get in touch with us, 869-1240. Your thoughts on this buyout business of college coaches are welcome. You can call us there. Max has the KFH hotline manned. You can also leave us comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. It's all available for you to reach out to us. Thanks to those of you watching us on 12 News Connected. Coming up this hour, we'll talk bets with PJ Glasser. In just a few minutes, we'll get you ready for the college football weekend and the NFL weekend. And then we'll have a little K-State talk with GoPowerCat.com publisher Tim Fitzgerald coming up later in the hour as well. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Cooperstown Pizza with a sriracha cream cheese base and topped with chicken, bacon, mushrooms, and mozzarella. The Cooperstown, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Cooperstown brings thoughts of Major League Baseball, where we see the Toronto Blue Jays take the series lead 3-2, TJ, headed back to Toronto. It was an unbelievable performance by Trey Yesavage, who was fantastic, who a lot of people probably don't even know. He was kind of a late call-up. He's a top Blue Jays prospect. And he got called up late in the year and pitched really well, and then has been a weapon for them. He made 3 starts. That's it, TJ, in the regular season. He got called up on September 15th. Jeez. That's it. And then he's come up in the postseason. And it was a little rocky early on, but he's been pretty nails here his last 3 times out, including last night. 12 strikeouts over 7 innings in the Game 5 win over the Dodgers. Excuse me. How about that? How about that for a 22-year-old who got called up a month and a half ago?
That's crazy. Yeah, it was a wild game last night. You know, what was it? 2 home runs and 3 pitches to start the game definitely sets the tone and helps a starting pitcher on the road at Dodger Stadium, come out and not have much pressure breathing down his neck. And so I'd say that helps as well.
You're 22 years old. You got called up a month and a half ago. you have made, going into that game, 7 appearances as a big league starter. Hey, game 5, critical, you know, we're going to shift the series here. Game 5, Dodger Stadium. Let's go with you, Savage. You ready, young man? We see this, too. Like, we see this for young guys. Do you remember, is it Finnegan? I think
Brandon
it was
Finnegan, yeah.
For the Royals in their runs where he just, like, he just got drafted, I think, and kind of called up, and he just kept putting him in big spots, and he just kept delivering. It happened with Evan Carter. If you remember the Rangers World Series, the late, late call-up, young outfielder, and they just kept throwing him out there, and he just kept making big plays. It's a cool thing that we see, and it happens, I mean, fairly frequently in the post, maybe not to the degree of 12 strikeouts in a game 5 at Dodger Stadium on the road. But we see these things happen, and it's just like at some point you just kind of run on fumes and you don't think about it, and you just get out there and you go. And it's awesome. Like, it's so cool. What a great story last night. And now 2 games to get it done in Toronto, TJ. The Dodgers were heavy favorites in this thing. You'll have Gausman, who's been very good, against Yamamoto, who's been otherworldly in game 6. And then if there is a game 7, it would be the old man Scherzer on the mound for game 7 against Glasnow. Do you think Blue Jays can get it done?
It's going 7.
Hey, listen, I feel good. I called Blue Jays in 7. So I feel good.
I think that Yamamoto will be freaking nails in that game.
He will.
That's going to be so cool.
But so has been on the other side. His opposition's been just as nails. Maybe not just as nails, but Gossman's been fantastic.
When was the last game 7? Cubs Indians. Woo! 2016.
Really? It's been 10 years since we've had a game 7 of the World Series?
That's what Google says.
I would have lost that. I would have lost that bet. I'm trying to pull up right now. Let's see. World Series.
Oh, no. All right. Nationals Astros. Sorry.
Okay. The Blue Jays winning 7, you can still get it 3-1. The Dodgers, you can get 2-1 to win the World Series. So the Blue Jays have become pretty heavy. They're minus 250 right now. So, you know, Vegas has got them, you know, closing it out a little bit. It's not a bad spot to bet the Dodgers. It's not a bad spot. Like, if you're TJ thinking Blue Jays in 7 or it's going 7, I mean, you could take the Dodgers at 2-1 and the Blue Jays in 7 at 3-1. And if the Dodgers win game 6, you're set. You're going to win. You're going to end up with money if you were to do that. So that's one way to look at it. Of course, you lose money if the Blue Jays get it done in 6. I love it. I think this is, and it's so, it's, you know, we talked about the weird thing about it is the games haven't been that close other than the marathon game. They haven't been very close, but it feels like this has been a really good series, even though there haven't been a lot of close games. Maybe I'm the only one on that. And I think it's just because the stars keep performing. But with, like, the games have been, like, it's been fun to watch the series, even without the games being particularly close.
I think it's just the fact that we're getting, you know, I mean, we're getting big numbers and good pitching. Like, it just depends on what team does it that night, you know? Like,
I guess
we saw a team put up 11, and then we see Yamamoto, you know, shove the way he shoved. And we see a 12 strikeout game last night. And I think it just keeps going back and forth. That's what makes it so fun, is that you just don't know what you're going to get each day. Whenever you turn the game on. So I think that goes into it as well. And I think that I'd rather see something like this that's full of action rather than seeing a bunch of games that are 2-1 with, you know, bloop and move them over.
That's a good question.
Which I like. I do like some small ball, but I like seeing
it's not action. The small. It's not so much that I just need, and these games have been this way. Like, I need it to be intense all the way. The only game where it hasn't been is game 1.
Yeah. I think this is just the former hitter in me coming out. We used to always have these conversations in college, and the hitters and the pitchers would, you know, go to each other's throats because pitchers were like, I'd rather see it be 1-0. I'm like, you're insane. Like, I know you don't believe that. You want to see stuff happen in a baseball game.
I'm fine either way. I just want it to be like, if I'm in the playoffs and especially a World Series, like, I just want the intensity of every pitch to be like that palpable tension. And even last night, it was like it was all the way until probably the eighth or ninth inning. Like it was it like every at bat felt like a big deal. And we've had that throughout the series again, other than game one, where the Blue Jays score 11 runs in game one. So it's been a really good series. Great fan bases. Great for baseball. I hope people are watching. They will be up against not much Saturday night college football for game six. For game seven. If it happens tomorrow night, Friday night, Halloween, you get home, you get with the kids. I just hope people are watching because it's been really good. My question becomes, the Blue Jays are clearly better in those blue uniforms. Did they got to rock those at home now, don't they? You can't go back to the primary. Like, you've been great in those blues the last two games. You got to go with the blues, don't you?
It's true. Yeah. I mean, maybe you can wear them at home or the road. That's the beauty of the powder blues.
Yeah, I think they wear those at home from time to time. Yep. And I don't know what they wore in game one, but that's something that, you know,
it's a good jersey. I'm a big powder blues guy.
It's a good. Can we talk about something here? The powder blues are not the problem. It's a great jersey. It looks great. Looks fantastic. You know what else looks great? It's the hat they wear with it. The Royals blues looked fine. Those hats were awful. The Royals bringing in the powder blues are great, but I want you to look at how good that Blue Jays hat looks, because it just is simple, right? It's simple. It does have the two-color bill, which, okay. But even if it was solid blue, like, the Royals have the perfect hat. Their regular hat is the perfect hat for powder blues. And they screw up the powder blues by wearing that Elmer Fudd logo too small hat that they tried to roll out that looks like my daughter made it on Pinterest. No. Just wear your regular hat and do the powder blues.
I can't believe you're a hater of a throwback hat.
It's not good. It's not a good hat.
The logo's sweet, though. Like,
but it's too small on the hat. Like, it's the whole thing is weird. Like, it doesn't look right. And I'm sorry, it doesn't. It doesn't look right. They have the perfect hat for powder blue uniforms. Their regular blue hat is perfect. I'd rather see them wear that dumb hat with white uniforms occasionally, because it doesn't go with the powder blues at all. Like, it's a total mismatch. Whatever. World Series has been really good. And I hope that everybody's been able to enjoy it. And I hope most of us are rooting against the Dodgers. And even though the Blue Jays are not some, like, David versus Goliath, it always feels that way against the Dodgers. And hopefully we can keep it going. All right. Coming up tonight is Thursday Night Football here on KFH. We'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football. You'll hear that coverage beginning for the Ravens and the Dolphins. 6 o'clock coverage begins on Westwood One. Dolphins are 7.5-point home dogs. We all anticipate Lamar Jackson playing. It's a pretty interesting line. The Ravens got their win without Lamar. Here come the Ravens. We'll see what PJ Glasser thinks. He's a Ravens fan, and he's our betting insider. We'll do that next on Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, if you're looking for the best props and games to lay your money down on, from BetMGM, here's KFH's betting insider, PJ Glasser.
All right, we welcome in PJ Glasser as we have Thursday Night Football featuring his Baltimore Ravens that I'm curious about. We'll get to that and all our NFL bets in just a little bit. First, we're going to start with college football. You can find PJ Glasser on X at PJ Glasser 9. Always good insight there. Host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. PJ, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing good, laughing our tails off at the Louisiana governor for calling a spade with the Brian Kelly buyout, to be perfectly honest with you, appreciating his candor. All right, we've got a big one, PJ, here locally. K-State, oddly, has had the door sort of opened up for them to have just kind of an outside shot. They've looked far better lately, but Texas Tech's getting their quarterback back. Texas Tech is a really good team. K-State, 7.5 points at home. How do you handle this one?
Yeah, it's one of the top bets for me of the week that's going to make my card. I do like K-State plus the 7, boys. I like the fact that we're getting a key number. I'm going to take some money line as well. I mean, the spot for one, you know, Texas Tech, they could be looking ahead to BYU next week, which is kind of the game that everybody's circling. College game day likely going to be there. But the way that these two teams are currently playing, the last time we saw Texas Tech on the road in kind of a game like this, they lost outright to Arizona State. Baron Morton's going to come back as the quarterback for Texas Tech. And, you know, he hasn't played the last couple weeks, so you don't know what that's going to look like. And, Jacob, as you were saying, K-State's been playing better, and you normally don't get them as a home underdog in Manhattan. The last time we saw that, they blew out TCU a few weeks ago. So K-State's trending in the right direction. They're playing a lot better. Their offense is playing a lot better. And this is going to be the ultimate test. You're going up against the best defense in the league and one of the best in the country. But I think they're going to be able to hang with Texas Tech. I think this is going to be a close game. So I do like K-State plus the points.
PJ, to your point, I saw somebody talking about the game day stuff with Tech and BYU. It feels like every time that you have one circled, somebody finds a way to mess it up. And so this would be a good spot for K-State to go ahead and mess it up. Keep it here locally, because I love asking you about these stupid college lines, because KU gets Oklahoma State this week. Like 24.5 is the line that I'm looking at. Is Oklahoma State that bad?
They are, and anybody that's been watching Big 12 football, TJ, knows they are that bad, because they have numbers like this every week, and they hardly ever cover. With that being said, I mean, as people know, Kansas has just kind of been stuck in the mud, it feels like, the last, like, 6 weeks, right? They just haven't really been able to get it going. So this is a game that they should win. This is a game that they should win comfortably. Oklahoma State has started to tweak some things a little bit and play a little better. I mean, they played Texas Tech last week, so you really can't take too much away from that. If you like Oklahoma State, this is more so just a fade of Kansas and just feeling like they can't really get it going and they can't cover a number like this. I'm staying away, but I think this is kind of a good test for both teams, because Kansas needs a game to kind of feel good about themselves, a game where they can kind of win comfortably. And Oklahoma State's just looking to play somebody competitively. And I think maybe they look at this game being one that they can do that. So staying away, but I think you can make a case for both sides. It should be an interesting game.
Let's go to another Big 12 game of interest for us, because we're watching K-State and what could happen for them. Cincinnati is not getting any love. Cincinnati is ranked 17th, but the lines they've been getting are showing no love. They're coming off a 3-touchdown win against Baylor. They've beaten Iowa State, who's ranked. Kansas should have beat them, but that road win is impressive. They haven't lost a game since the opening game of the season. They go into a game against Utah, though, as double-digit underdogs. No love for Cincinnati.
No love for Cincy. And guys, what makes this game even stranger is the fact that Utah opened up at 7 earlier this week. We're all the way up to 10.5, and there's really no significant injury news, right? Like, you see something like this, you're like, oh, maybe the quarterback's out, maybe a couple of starters on defense. I mean, pretty much what we thought the players available coming in early in the week are still there. And this line's moved from 7 to 10.5. So at 7, I liked Utah. 10.5, I can't get there. It'd kind of be at Cincinnati at this point. I would expect this line to come back down, and I think you're going to see Utah close at probably 9.5 or something like that. But, you know, to me, this game and the Vandy, Texas game, I think, are similar in the sense that these lines are being priced off of brand name. You know, like, Utah is the favorite in this game because of kind of what they've done under Whittingham in the past under the Pac-12. But like you said, I mean, people that have been watching football, like, Cincinnati's a good team, and their offense has been rolling, and Brendan Sorsby's been playing really good quarterback. And since Utah's been in the Big 12, these are the kind of games that they have struggled in when they've gone against some good teams. Now, you're playing in Salt Lake City at night, which is one of the toughest places to win, so I don't think they win. 10.5's a lot, though. So at this price, I would kind of look at Cincinnati, I think.
Yeah, I'll ask you about that Texas game. That was one I had circled to talk to you about, is that Vanderbilt's the number 9 team in the country, and they're getting points on the road. That doesn't happen very often. Texas, you know, as you said, it's kind of brand name here. They snuck by Kentucky and Mississippi State, which are not SEC powers by any standards. What do you like in that one?
I mean, guys, like, what's Texas's impressive data point this year? You know, they lose on the road to Ohio State. They lose on the road to Florida. They beat Oklahoma and Red River when John Mateer can barely use his right hand, right? And then you just mentioned it, TJ. They go on the road, overtime Kentucky, overtime Mississippi State. They just, like, where's the win that you look at as to why they should be favored in this game? That's why I'm staying away from it, because it feels like a lot of people are on Vandy. It feels like Vandy is the better team. and Texas is still favored at 2.5. I can't wait to watch it. It would only be Vandy or Pass for me in the game. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, I compared it to the Utah game because it just feels like Texas is Texas. And if they were an underdog in this game, people would come in and just slam the Longhorns. But Vandy is the real deal. They have everything in front of them. If they win out, they're going to be in the college football playoff. And this is one of the games that they got to take care of business. So Arch is in concussion protocol as well. So we'll see if he ends up playing for Texas and they have to go to the backup. But I would look at Vandy. I'm hoping we get a 3. I don't think we will. But if we get Vandy plus 3, I'll be on the doors in that game.
Before we go to Thursday Night Football tonight, PJ, what other college games are in your favorites this week?
So I'll give you guys two other quick ones. Miami and SMU, fellas. When Miami and SMU play on Saturday, it'll be November 1st, week 10 in college football. It'll be the first game the Canes play outside the state of Florida this season. Every game they've played have been at home, and then they played Florida State on the road. So this is the first time they go outside of Florida. I want to look to fade Miami early. Obviously, the Canes are in town, the fan base, the players, they're going to be jacked up for that. SMU first half, 6.5, I like, against Miami. And then the other one, Nebraska, USC. I'll take Nebraska plus 6.5. Lincoln Riley, since he's been in LA as the coach of the Trojans, when he's had to play a game in the Eastern or Central time zone, 1-15 against the spread, 1-15 straight up. And we keep getting these numbers with USC where they lay touchdowns on the, and I just don't get it because they are terrible on the road. And as people know, all Nebraska does is play people close in a one score game. So I like the Cornhuskers plus the points in that one as well.
PJ, those sound like made-up stats. That's insane.
Riley is abysmal away from home, but they, you know, they keep laying those numbers, so we'll keep fading.
I guess so. All right, let's go to NFL. We get to talk to PJ Glasser on a Ravens game day tonight, actually. They're laying a little over a touchdown against a Dolphins team that's got its problems. What's the scouting report on the Ravens tonight?
Like the over in the game at 51.5 with Lamar back. I think the offense is going to be able to score against that Dolphins defense. They have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Enter Derrick Henry, enter Keaton Mitchell. They got going a little bit in that Bears game. Now Lamar coming back from the hamstring, I wouldn't expect them to run him as much, but just the threat of him being out there. I think the Ravens are going to be able to score. And I think the Dolphins are going to be able to score as well, guys. When Tua comes off of an outright upset, he's 8-2 against the spread in those 10 games. So when Tua gets a win, he starts getting momentum. He plays pretty well. The Ravens still get no pass rush either. And Tua's one of those quarterbacks, when he doesn't have any pressure, that's when he tends to play pretty well. I think both teams are going to be able to score in the game. So I do like the over, and I think the Ravens in a teaser. You know, just don't overthink it. I know it's going to be super popular this week. People betting them down to 1.5 starting the week, but I do think they win. They cover the teaser, but I like the over. I think tonight's game, we're going to see some points.
PJ, this is obscure, and I've been having fun with this with the listeners because it's working. Primetime games this year. TJ's going to roll his eyes at me. First touchdown scorers between the quarterbacks and the tight ends have paid very well. Quarterback or tight end in primetime games this year. It hasn't been every time, but it has been enough on a first touchdown bet to be in the positive money. So I'm going to keep going with it. You as the Ravens fan, Mark Andrews feels like he's screaming at me here tonight for a first touchdown.
Mark could be a good option. I mean, how about just go with Lamar and the narrative,
right? But his odds aren't going to be. Yeah.
Lamar's back. You could see him getting to the end zone first. And, you know, Al Michaels going something like, oh,
Waller's had one himself.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's playing, but he's been on one of these this year.
He has. So, yeah, I mean, I think the tight end, Andrews, could be a good look. I think Lamar could be a good look. This is going to be a fun game for people out there that like doing the same game touchdown parlays. I think this is going to be a fun game for it because we usually don't see totals this high on Thursday Night Football, right? We all know these games tend to be ugly. They tend to be sloppy. I kind of think this is going to be similar to that Bengals and Steelers game we got a couple weeks ago. I think this is going to be a fun one. So, yeah, if you want to take some touchdown parlays tonight, I think this is a good game for it.
We'll get right to the probably the game of the week, one of the games of the year around here. Chiefs-Bills going to Orchard Park. The line has moved in favor of the Chiefs. Jacob, I'm looking at it, though, and it is moving back to the Bills. I've got 1.5 in front of me.
Since we've been on the air.
Yeah. What's going on with this line?
So, I don't know about you guys. It feels like everybody's on the Chiefs in this game, and rightfully so. I mean, I get it. Kansas City looks like the best team in the NFL. They're playing great. Buffalo, I mean, you know, they beat the Panthers, but it was really James Cook. They didn't have to do much more than that, and Andy Dalton was atrocious. So, I don't know. You know, in these kind of games, in these kind of high-profile matchups, when it feels like everybody's on the same side, it does make me nervous. And as you guys know, I mean, the Bills have dominated these games in the regular season. We know what happens when these two teams meet in the postseason. But in the regular season, I mean, Allen and the Bills have won these games. So you're getting them as a home dog. It doesn't feel like anybody likes them in the game. I haven't bet it yet, but I am kind of leaning towards taking Buffalo. I think I'm going to end up betting it live, though, because I do feel like I'm going to get a better plus number than 2. With the Bills, like I could see myself getting a 6.5, you know, something in that neighborhood. I think I'll just end up betting the game live because, you know, I mean, these games between these two teams are usually one score games. So I think that's a good way to go about it. I will tell you guys, my favorite play of the week, though, is a prop in this game, and that's Josh Allen over rushing attempts. They never price it as high as they should. And he's played Kansas City 9 times in his career. He has had 8 or more rushing attempts, 8 of the 9 games that he has played Kansas City. At BetMGM, his rushing attempt number is 6.5, and it's juiced to the over at 135. You can shop around and find some 7.5s at plus money, but Josh, anytime he plays the Chiefs, I mean, that's the team he wants to beat the most, and he's always willing to put his body on the line, and he's always willing to run. We know he gets those, you know, scrambles, those QB sneaks on third down, third and short, at the goal line, all those kinds of things. So I think that number's way too low. He's gone over that 2 times this season, and it was the Sunday night game against the Ravens and the Patriots. So when it's a big game, when he's going up against Kansas City, Baltimore, certain top-tier teams, those are the games Josh is looking to run. So they price it like it's just every other game, and it's not. When it's Kansas City, you should be paying a tax for that, and the books don't adjust. So that is my favorite. I mean, 6.5 is just way too low. 7.5 is too low for his attempts.
Yeah, I like. And the other thing is they all have been good against running backs this year, and we know Buffalo wants to run it. Yep. So if they stop James Cook, I think that I like that a lot. Definitely. We'll put into my sucker bet parlay combinations that I have incoming. There are some other interesting ones. One of them, PJ, is JJ McCarthy's return. The Lions, big favorites at home, 8.5. Boy, based on what we saw out of JJ McCarthy, 8.5 doesn't seem enough, to be perfectly honest. But the Lions are coming off a bye. They feel a little bit like a wagon right now. You got to be confident in a guy that has not looked good in the limited time we've seen him if you're going to jump on the Vikings there.
Yeah, I'm laying the lumber with Detroit, boys. I'm with you. I don't know why this line is as low as it is. I think anything under 10 is a good bet. Like you said, Detroit's coming off a bye. They should be fully focused and motivated. They got to keep pace with Green Bay in that division. And, you know, when we talk about Minnesota, we talk about how good their coaching staff is with O'Connell and Flores. Dan Campbell, Detroit, their offense is they've been really good against Flores and those Vikings defenses. So, look, I normally am a guy who likes betting underdogs. I normally don't like betting these big numbers in the NFL, but I think it's a good spot for Detroit. So I did take a -8.5.
Yeah, PG, one more for me. This is kind of the one weird line that I feel like I've seen. The Broncos are underdogs on the road against the Texans, and we can't really tell what the Texans are. They've had their struggles, and then last week they looked like they were going to win the Super Bowl. What do you make of a line there with the Texans favored with the Broncos?
So I like the under in the game at 39.5 because I think both offenses, both quarterbacks are going to struggle against both defenses who really get after the quarterback. I would lean towards Houston in the game. Denver opened up as a favorite, but with the Surtain injury news, now the Texans are the favorite in the game. Look, I just think that odds makers and bettors aren't convinced on Denver because they've been beaten up on a lot of bad defenses. You know, they just played Dallas last week, and they played the Titans, and they played against a bunch of bad teams. They played against the Jets, and they really struggled. They played against the Bengals. So this is going to be the best defense that they've faced. I mean, the Texans are maybe the top defense in the NFL going on the road. So I just think this kind of a prove it game for people. And Bo Nix at times has looked really inconsistent. I like under 39.5. And if I had to play it, I probably would look towards Houston.
All right, PJ, before we cut out of here, any other NFL camp misses this weekend?
So, boys, it's ugly, but this is just classic NFL. I'm going to take Atlanta +5.5 against New England. Now, we need some good injury news. We need Penix to play, and obviously it would help if Drake London plays for Atlanta as well. But, I mean, just look at the state of these two teams, right? New England is as hot as can be. They're absolutely rolling right now. And Atlanta just came off a 20-point loss to Miami. So they were a 6.5-point favorite last week. Now they're a 5.5-point dog this week. I love looking at these kind of games where we just got New England -7 against the Browns. And now we're getting New England -5.5 against the Falcons. Do we really think, especially if Penix and maybe London come back, that Atlanta's only a point and a half better than Cleveland? I don't buy that. So I think this is a nice buy. Usually 5.5, very key number in the NFL. When you get a road dog 5.5, one of those key numbers where normally the dog covers, normally the dog wins outright as well. So I like we're getting that 5.5. I think the Falcons, they pull the upset in that game.
Love it. Host of Send It In, Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. Good luck to your Ravens tonight. Good luck to all our bets tonight and into the weekend. PJ, let's do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas. Good luck.
There goes PJ Glasser. That Thursday Night Football, by the way, you'll hear it right here on KFH. I think I'm gonna go Andrews tonight. I think I'm going to go Andrews. Lamar's the obvious one on the return. Maybe. I'll look at the odds. I haven't looked at the odds yet, but I'm afraid he'll get pushed down a little bit too much for my liking, but we'll see if we can keep.
All I know is that I tailed you one time and I'm 0-1. So
which one did you tail?
Last week I took Mahomes.
Why didn't you take Gadsden on Thursday night like I told you? We got him at 18-1. Caleb Williams at 20-1. We're nailing it. We're nailing it. We'll see. I got to look at the odds.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And as we come on the air, we can stop the presses here with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, or K-State Insider, because Dictionary.com has announced the 2025 Word of the Year. What do you think it is, fellas? Have you seen this?
I know what it is.
I have no idea. I didn't know they had, there was a Word of the Year. Now I'm aspiring to be the word of the year.
TJ, you said you saw this?
I did.
6-7. Or should I say 6-7? What? We've gotten old. Do you use this, TJ? Are you in on this slang?
I'm in on the ironically, because I think it's just funny that it's such a big thing now.
It is. So I told everybody that like I'm going to combat it by telling every kid the why is six afraid of seven joke every time I hear them use it until it becomes so lame that we can move on from this fad. It doesn't bother me that much. It's my kids are into it and it's kind of funny. Fitz, we won't bore you with what 6-7 is outside of I'm sure an offensive lineman for K-State football.
It's before Fitz's we age. Get in.
But yeah,
whoa!
Yikes! Before we get into the game this weekend at Texas Tech, did you see what the Louisiana governor did yesterday, Jeff Landry?
No.
Oh, you've got to look this up. So Jeff Landry, the Louisiana governor, got up. I don't know what he was doing, but he's got a bunch of people standing behind him. I'm sure it was just some public event, and he went off on the Brian Kelly buyout. He went off on the fact that the same agent represents the old coach, the new coach, and the AD. And the quote being pulled from it is, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward, who's the AD at LSU, is not selecting the next head coach. He said, I'd let Donald Trump select it before I'd let him do it. He went nuts, and I love every bit of it. These buyouts are outrageous.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, from a business standpoint, they're absurd. I mean, what a horrible way to run a business. If you fail, I'm going to reward you. The buyout culture has to not come to an end, but join us in reality. I mean, I know you need to be bought out of your of a contract, but for heaven's sakes, why aren't ADs putting in the contracts more reasonable buyouts? They're getting taken to the cleaners by the agents, but this makes sense because I hadn't even stopped to think that the agents are also representing the both sides of the negotiation. So if you eliminate one buyout, you eliminate the other, and neither want it.
Crazy. Crazy stuff, Fitz. Let's get to some K-State talk. Big one on Saturday. All of a sudden, we brought this up with Wyatt Thompson earlier in the week. You know, we wrote him off, wrote him for dead, and all of a sudden, here they are busting out of the coffin. It's not over yet.
It's crazy. This is a big turnaround of a team I've covered easily, but I don't remember many like this. Oklahoma State kind of did it a few years ago, but I don't think they were I don't know. Maybe it's pretty similar to that. Didn't they lose at home to they lost at home to someone that wasn't even very good. So maybe there are some similarities there. But this is insane how much K-State has improved. And you stop to wonder, well, are they done improving? Is this it? Or is there still more room to go? Because they're pretty good against TCU. I was pretty happy with that product compared to what we've been seeing. And then against Kansas, they looked a lot more like the team we all expected. So is there another level here, or was that kind of the peak? Well, we're going to find out, because Texas Tech is going to hurt your feelings real fast if you're not legitimate.
What does K-State do here? It's funny. We paid so much attention to Dylan Edwards that we've almost missed that K-State's been able to run the ball a little bit lately. Texas Tech's defense is good at everything.
Yeah.
So to me, it feels like Avery is going to just have to be otherworldly offensively to keep them on their toes a little bit, or their heels, I should say, a little bit. But how do you attack a defense that doesn't seem to have any hope?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You got to find a way to make plays. And for Kansas State, that's going to be trying to generate some form of a running game. This is an elite run defense. And Kansas State has been improved in their run blocking and ability to run the ball, but they didn't even achieve what we thought they needed to do to beat Kansas. So they found a workaround there. And that workaround is, if you want to come up and try to take away the run, Avery's going to go over the top and do it effectively. He's lowering a defensive coordinator's desire to press the line of scrimmage because the price has gotten pretty high. So you're right. In many ways, Avery Johnson is going to have to make a lot of plays. But that's true of any quarterback in a big game against an opponent that probably is superior. Someone's got to rise up and have a day. And Avery Johnson seems poised to do that. But on another level is the fact that running quarterbacks have hurt Tech. That is something they don't account for, and also they play a lot of man, so they turn their back on the quarterback. Avery's got to take that yardage whenever possible, just to kind of perpetuate the sticks to keep them moving. This kind of reminds me of that game at Texas a few years ago when K-State was awful at halftime, and then they adjusted and came out and took the game to overtime. They ended up losing, and they certainly didn't play a flawless second half, but they learned how to hang in the game and then match the energy. Kansas State's going to have to rise to a whole new level. They really will.
Fitz, kind of on that subject, I'll take us back to this past Saturday, Sunflower Showdown. It felt to us like it was the best game that Avery's played.
Oh, I agree. And I didn't catch this at the time, but I guess his quarterback rating was the highest at K-State since 2014.
Wow.
And they only had the offense only had the ball like 53 times. So his efficiency with what they did in that time was incredible. Yeah, he was, that's more the Avery we thought we'd see. And it wasn't just the running and the throwing. It was how he took command and took charge of things and, you know, kept perpetuating drives and making sure those drives ended in points. That was the attention to detail that Avery Johnson needs to have. And kind of a situational awareness that is increasing and really needs to be an area of continued focus for him, because you take risk on third and six that you don't take on second and six when you need a first down. So learning that, and he seems to be, is going to be taking him a long ways.
But we have to be real. My jaw hit the floor because I felt the same way. I was like, this is the best he's ever looked. He completed 11 passes.
Yep.
That's it. The fewest he's completed all year. In that game that he looked the best, he didn't run at all. So, like, I it was the best he's looked too, but it was like, it was anti everything we say we want to see from him when you go into a game. The efficiency's the key. I can't imagine he will be even close to that efficient just because of the defense he's going up against. So what more can we see from him in the game, right? If you took away the big completion, I would think against a team like that, it's going to be on the ground where he can be a little bit more of a difference maker. The second reaction type plays, because in structure, Texas Tech's as good a defense as there is in the country right now.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, the reality with Avery's running game is if you prove he's going to do it and could hurt you at any second, they have to change for that. They have to adjust. Early in the season, they were taking him away, but they really weren't that threatened by him either. He didn't have an appetite to go run the ball. And now people know he does, but you're right. He's going to have to put it out there and have a long run or two that makes Texas Tech alter what they're doing.
Fitz, I'll switch our gears here. Not only do we get the Texas Tech game on Saturday, we've got K-State basketball next week. By the time we talk to you next, we'll have basketball games in the books. Just kind of what is the Cliff Notes version of this team? We saw a scrimmage at Mizzou. I didn't get to catch most of that, but, you know, they scored 90 points in that game. Are we going to see a lot of offense from Jerome Tang this year? What's your stance on them?
Yeah, I think offensively they're going to be a totally different team. Coach Matthew Driscoll coming in has really taken charge of that. He's a dynamic coach and known for his offensive ability to get things moving, which K-State needs. And I think they addressed it on the recruiting trail too. I think they did a much better job of finding natural scores that can help them. You just never know until the team hits the court, but I think this will be the best version of Jerome Tang basketball since that first team. They just have a lot of parts. And I think having some new ideas on the coaching side really helps them. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see how this plays out as the season goes.
They'll get a warm up game, a tune up game against TJ's Newman Jets before then tomorrow night. They really though, like, I don't know how good Cal's going to be this year, but it may be a minute. We may make it through, you know, the first 3 weeks of the season before they're really challenged at all. We know Chris Jans will have Mississippi State in pretty good shape. It might be like, when do you think we'll have even a real feel for it? Because it's not going to happen out of the gates.
Yeah, I think we'll actually see a higher talent level immediately. I think where our frustration will come is we've gotten used to pretty good defense. Not that the defense is going to be bad. I just think this group's going to be more offensively acclimated and want to go attack the rim. Trying to get them to defend at the same level will be the key to them having a great deal of success.
There you go. Fitz, what's your scouting report on the Newman Jets coming into Bramlage tomorrow night?
They actually aren't Jets. They're human beings.
What?
I know. It seems like it'd be a huge advantage. But as opposed to Kansas State, that actually has a half Wildcat, half man mascot. Just saying.
I'll give you $10 if you can name the name of the mascot at Newman.
It's Jerry the Jet.
Oh, you're close. It's Johnny.
Benny.
Oh, wow.
Benny and the Jets. No.
That'd have been better.
That's pretty good.
That was a really close guess. That's good. The alliteration guess was a strong play. I don't imagine you guys have a Newman scout up at gopowercat.com, but you got all kinds of content on Texas Tech. What can people find?
Yeah. K-State pregame show drops at 10 a.m. on the YouTube machine. The walkthrough drops tomorrow at 10 a.m., but all kinds of VIP coverage for our subscribers of behind the scenes, you know, kind of taking you deeper into the game. It's all available at GoPowerCat. Probably time to subscribe. It's getting fun.
Here we go. GoPowerCat.com at Life of Fitz on X. Enjoy it. Boy, the door's cracked open. Who'd have thunk it? But here we go. Fitz, we'll talk next week.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Oh, man. This game is like, it's making me, I don't know, nervous, TJ. Is it nerves? Like, I'm worried. It's more than nerves.
It's just get you going because, you know, if they lose, then it's like, okay, well, now it's done.
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm worried. But hopeful at the same time. It's a weird emotion. Thursday is always fun. Appreciate PJ Glasser and Tim Fitzgerald for stopping by. If you missed anything with them, you can go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app. Coming up tonight on KFH, you've got Thursday Night Football, Baltimore and Miami. PJ likes the Ravens. There it is for you. First touchdown scorer, Lamar comes in at 10-1. Boy, that's pretty appetizing. Andrews at 11-1. Those are the two that we're looking at. I may get a little on both. I may lean Andrews and hedge with Lamar Jackson. TJ, I think that's where I'm leaning tonight on my first touchdowns.
Didn't realize that you were a cheater. Didn't know you hedged all these bets that you're giving out.
I don't always hedge them, but I do make one that's bigger than the others, and the one that's bigger than the others is going to be Mark Andrews. But at Lamar at 10-1 is almost a little too good not to hedge. You never get him at 10-1. All right, that'll do it. Next show you'll hear from us, we'll make football picks tomorrow. Looking forward to it. For TJ, for Max, I'm Jacob. See you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.